Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, September the 10th. I didn't know it was your birthday, too, Sean.
It is not.
Oh, it's not.
Happy birthday, Brian.
Oh, thank you. I'm waiting for Joe DiMaggio now to come out and say something. Probably isn't going to happen, though, I suspect.
It may happen.
Yeah. It's also Arnold Palmer's birthday today.
Really?
Yeah. He was the one that I did always kind of went, oh, and him, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure every kid does that, right? Trying to find somebody else that's cool to share their birthday with.
Right.
So that was about as good as I got. Are you ready for your question, sir?
Yes.
All right. Why do we say what the Dickens?
No idea. I'm going to guess Charles Dickens, but I think that's wrong.
Dickens, in this usage, is probably a corruption of the word devilkins, means little devils.
Fair enough.
If so, the phrase really means what the devil. Okay.
And what does that mean?
I don't know. I didn't get a second paragraph on that one. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's do something else then.
Like Wikipedia, you click on one thing and it takes you to another page.
Yeah.
To get more information.
Okay, here we go. This is school related.
Well, what school? American school?
Why, yes. Well, okay. I probably even suspect South African schools.
Okay.
Why are so many pencils yellow?
I have no idea.
See, now you can't even say that you don't know about that one, huh?
They are yellow there. But
yeah, the Ticonderoga and everybody else.
Yeah.
Pencils painted yellow were sold as early as 1854, but yellow didn't become the predominant color for pencils until around 1890. It was at this time that the L&C Hardmuth Company of Austria introduced a pencil of such high quality that became the standard for the others to follow. Mm. The pencil was named after a famous Indian diamond and was painted gold and yellow, supposedly because with its black lead, it made the colors of the Austria-Hungarian flag. This pencil, which was advertised as the original yellow pencil, was such a huge success that it established yellow as a symbol of quality in pencils. Other pencil manufacturers soon began painting their pencils yellow, and today 3 out of 4 pencils sold are yellow.
So it's a little branding.
Yeah. Another marketing ploy.
I'm pretty sure the colors of the Austrian flag are not yellow and black. They're
gold and black?
No, they're red and white.
Well, this is Austria-Hungary. Back in the mid-1800s.
Before it split?
Probably so, yes. Maybe when it was a kingdom.
I was not aware of their...
But let's do a little dig. I give Winston something to do so he doesn't have to listen to us.
Isn't that his job?
Well, I suppose that you are probably like the Shell Answer Man these days. What's going on with the fires? How are you going to put out the fires? How are the fires being worked with? Blah, 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 blah. Fire, 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 fire.
Well, I did expect this question, so I made sure to do a little research yesterday.
I couldn't sneak up on you on this one, huh?
Well, it's a pretty common situation.
I would suspect so.
It does seem, I guess, generally speaking, that at least the fires within Northern California are slowly being contained. The one that most people were probably aware of was the Caldo fire threatening South Lake Tahoe. Which would have been a huge catastrophe.
Yeah, it was interesting how that one received such notoriety.
Yeah, well, when you got to evacuate 30,000 people, that's kind of a problem.
It's an attention-getting device.
Yeah, and I was actually there on vacation 2 weeks beforehand.
Oh.
And the smoke was so bad that we left after 2 days. So I can imagine if it got worse, it was pretty, pretty bad.
So that one kind of is being worked with, the ones on 299 and 36 and in our neighborhood, as you indicate, are kind of they're slower down, I guess.
Right, although parts of the I got this wrong the other day, the Knob Fire, I believe, made a run along parts of the highway, I understand, but the official report is it's, I think, 80% or 90% contained. And but there's red flag warnings this weekend.
What does that mean?
It means there are extreme temperatures along with thunderstorms, usually dry lightning, so potential for much more fire starts and rapid fire spread.
So any moisture that comes along,
it's not going
to. It doesn't help out too much.
We're seeing it here on the coast, but I'm very certain that there's hardly anything inland.
So when something like that is anticipated, is it just kind of a notice to be prepared to get that phone call? Or are there activities that can be done in advance?
Well, for us, it's just to be prepared potentially for deployment. But I think it's more for residents just to be more wary, be more mindful of practicing safe procedures. Although I don't know what started most of the fires that we're encountering besides some arson.
There was a couple of
Is throughout the state.
Yeah.
People setting fires. But that's usually what it means is just be aware, be ready. Although when you're, 3 months into these massive fires.
You're already kind of
We've been here for a long time. Yeah. The other thing is the dynamic is most of the fires in Northern California right now are Forest Service fires. So they're managed in a different way. And then the resources are all usually out of state. They're all federal resources. So hardly any of the local resources are being used for those incidents, which can be really frustrating if, you have property like some of our firefighters have, or their families have had property, and you're not over there helping protect it.
You're not able to help out. Yeah,
although some of our folks have been over there doing that,
taking the time off and going. Yeah. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times 8:24. Crack Research Team has shown up. You want to share the results on the colors of the Austria-Hungarian?
During the break, some extensive research was done. What we're looking at now is a very, very simple but powerful representation of the Austrian-Hungary flag pre-1850, I believe, which is a very virulent black and yellow. Which is
virulent. Have you been hanging around the medical guys too much?
I've been reading. We do have a lot of
paramedics. And reading too, both.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's a whole new thing.
Yeah.
But that does correspond and support the theory of the pencils.
Pencil yellow.
Yeah. And you have a clutch pencil, I believe they're called.
I don't know. It's one of those.
Where you push the
lead. Actually, it's called Papermate.
Papermate. Well, that's a brand.
It's a spinny. It's a spinner, yeah.
But it's not a wooden pencil.
I really hate pencil sharpening.
Yeah. It was an interesting part of school, though, pencil.
Did you guys get those big, thick black ones that didn't have an eraser on it? Or is that an American thing?
Sharpener?
No, the pencil. It was like maybe first grade through third grade, you're just starting to learn how to write.
No.
They wouldn't give you the Ticonderoga types because they would always snap. You're always there at the pencil sharpener. These big mass. Well, for little hands, they were massive.
Yes.
Just solid black, and it's the one on the pencil sharpener that has the big hole at the end.
I do not remember those.
A pencil sharpener.
Big black.
Oh, okay, the pencils. Yeah.
Because you couldn't write with a normal sized one.
Right. Well, I mean, we were Americans. What do you expect, right?
Yeah,
I'm even beating you to the punch, huh?
Yes, you did. Yeah, I don't remember those. No. But that was a long time ago now.
Yeah, so maybe memories kicked in for you too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of faded out.
Yeah.
What lessons are learned from these fires that we're having now as far as how to deal with the fire? Not the prevention side, because that gets into all kinds of other things, but with the experience level that everybody seems to be having now with wildland fires, are there a lot of transferable knowledge, tidbits, whatever, that can be applied either universally or in the more urban settings?
Yes, I believe so. I think, like you said, though, it varies where it is. I think the big lessons we learned maybe starting 5 years ago when we had the Santa Rosa fire and the Paradise fire is we're not dealing with the same, you know, regular routine conditions and fire behavior that we've become accustomed to in the last few decades. Things move much quicker. The history of fuel mitigation and fire suppression being different priorities created a bit of that, I believe, and those have tried to be mitigated. And then we could throw in the whole PG&E situation in this.
Yeah, that's state. Kind of a whole different layer on top, isn't it?
Yeah, and that definitely affects more local residents and things like that. But I think it's some of the things are just new ways for the teams to manage the incidents. And then for the crews on the ground, it's just being much more mindful of the standard, you know, we have watch out situations and standing orders and just how really important those are. But yeah, we just also now things have changed with it's not fire season. It's just all the time.
That's where I heard the old moniker of fire season. You know, you hold your breath through October and then it's back to normal. Now, I've heard that, and I don't, is it La Nina or El Nino? Which one's the wet one?
I think El Nino is, but maybe our research assistant.
Oh, that's right. Time to kick it back in, huh?
Confirm that.
The department is getting a month's work out here in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
whatever the wet one is,
right.
Is it looks like it's shaping up for one of those.
Okay.
So we might get back into the wet season, which I would suspect couldn't come soon enough.
Hopefully. I mean, part of our situation in California is a 7 or 9 year drought at this point. And even locally, we see it. I know before, in about May, Cal Fire was telling us that the fuel moistures were, you know, unprecedentedly low. And that was a concern. But hopefully we're kind of, well, I probably shouldn't.
Yeah, don't curse it.
Yeah. it's
just let it tail off and you're okay.
I will just say last year we were having a lot of our issues locally in November.
Yeah, I was saying the fire that was out on the North Spit and some of those things that happened, are they really extraordinary events? Or do you, as we've been in this situation now for a couple of years, are there just more of these abnormal events?
Right. I think so. I think just anecdotally, the summers here are drier and sunnier than they were 20 years ago. And so we are seeing more of those. We have more people. And that's part of the problem everywhere is the more people you have, the more non-accidental fires you have.
I thought you were going to say the more stupid people you have. Perhaps you shouldn't say that, and I did.
Yes, you did. It is your birthday, so yeah. You're getting a lot of gifts.
I get special dispensations. Okay, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humble Bay Fire Chief Sean Robertson. You were anonymous up until this point.
I think people knew who I was.
You think so?
Yeah.
Your dynamic personality, your celebrity is just kind of oozing through the...
I have some distinctive qualities.
You do?
Yeah.
It's that twinkle.
It's also Friday, the second Friday of the
week. Yeah. Well, that matters for some of us.
Yeah.
as you're looking at now the fall...
Yeah.
What does it look like to you? Are you looking at trying to get additional staffing? Are you expecting additional fires? Is this prevention season? You know, you can do some things now to maybe lessen the impact down the road. What do you do during this time when you know there are fires around, but you're not having to send the troops out to it yet?
Well, we're still within that time where we're expecting to do that. We had our biggest fires last year in October, and you know, we might start seeing effects of fall locally, but the rest of the state is still having significant fire issues.
So you're pushing the guys to take their vacation today? Well, so they're back on
the interesting
in
thing is a lot of the guys will take their vacations in July, so that later in the year or in the summer they're available. Of course, all of this is affected by COVID.
Yeah, it's kind of like the overriding layer on top of everything
else.
Yeah,
like last year, you know, if you took a vacation, you were doing a staycation, and then everything keeps fluctuating. So our usual prevention activities have been limited for a long time, and we're finally getting out and doing more of that. And
the visits to the businesses?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. For us, it's more focused on municipality stuff, the cities, the businesses, and less so any kind of wildfire mitigation. That's just not really what our jurisdiction is.
Is that different in the old fire district footprint?
In some ways, yes. There was more, a bit more outreach in those days. A lot of the residences in the district have their own water supplies, so we would do inspections of their, you know, 2,500-gallon tanks and things like that.
Okay.
And just checking the bridges is an issue for us because a lot of residential areas are accessed by bridges that have to be certified for. Our
yeah,
apparatus.
You don't see the fire guys responding on motorcycles.
No, not here, not here.
Well, not here.
Well, I tell you a quick story. There's a place in Bristol in England that did an analysis of their jurisdiction, and they have very narrow lanes. They have very few streets, and what they were finding was they had significant delays in their fire response because traffic was bad and there was no way to pass. So they instituted a motorcycle fire response. And they were able to get around all the traffic, and they could get to the fire quicker and make some quick initial attacks.
But if you show up without the truck...
Well, they had this fancy little tank on the motorcycle with a wand. Cause
a trailer?
Most of their fires were vehicle-based.
Oh.
So they were
That's right. You build with stone, it doesn't burn that quickly, does it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a lot wetter there than here.
Ooh. Yeah. Major breakthrough on this side of the studio.
Yeah. I mean, that's why European firefighting is so different. We do things here they consider cowboy tactics.
Like, really?
Why would you put someone on the roof? That's the stupidest thing ever. Like, that's not a safe place to go.
Well, you know, if you have slate roof, it's probably tough to break out the chainsaw.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just a different... construction and culture, I guess.
Huh.
Yeah, I remember being at the National Fire Academy, and there's firefighters from all over the world that come in there, and one day our class was interrupted because the previous fire commissioner of Australia was visiting. And in Australia, it's essentially a massive... the whole firefighting organization is centralized there. So...
Really?
Every firefighter works for the federal government. So the fire commissioner oversees the entire country.
So this was somebody worthy of note.
He was worthy of note.
Not like a commissioner on your board showing up.
Yes.
Everybody asks if he's brought the sandwiches or not, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Or if we're doing a bake sale this weekend so we can buy a new fire hole.
Well, that was, what was his perspective on it?
Well, he just said, hello, you know, nice to meet you, because this was an executive leadership class. And he said, you know, I'm mostly here if, you know, if anybody has any questions about Australian Fire Service. And somebody said, yeah, what do you think are the most significant differences between Australian and American firefighting? And he's like, he said, well, I just think a lot of your tactics are just very unnecessarily risky. We're already having issues with firefighter cancer and mental health. And so for us, you know, we limit interior firefighting, because if you're going inside and that's creating the cancer, then don't go inside.
Then why do it? Yeah.
And it's just it's a different mindset. But again, Australia is very different than here, and it's very different than Europe. So you can't apply the same rules in every place. You have to apply them to exactly where you are. And that's been a change in the fire service, because it's so based on tradition.
Yeah, that's what I would think. If there's a lot of inertia in one direction, it's tough.
Yeah.
Tough to turn the aircraft carrier around a little
bit. Yeah, like in this country, we're very proud of our traditional style helmets, which have a big brim out the back to get the water from running down your neck.
Right.
And in Europe, they wear fighter plane style helmets. It's just a complete encapsulated, because you can integrate the visor and the communications.
It's all right there.
Yeah, but it doesn't look cool.
So. Yeah. Yeah, the aerodynamics of it are a little soft. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:43.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with 3 airlines serving 5 destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson on this fine, foggy Friday.
Yes. Very special.
Yes, indeed. The fire training that you run everybody through.
Yeah.
How much does that change year to year?
It's changed quite a lot in the last few years. We've added a lot more elements to it. For example, we've added a whole day of mental health training, just so our firefighters can kind of go into the career knowing the signs and symptoms, how to build some resiliency to it. Because for a lot of them, they've never done any work like that before, and the biggest change is really with their families. Obviously, if they're just a single person, then it's not as big an effect, but often that's where the challenges come for some folks, is the interaction with the family is changed.
Or the lack of.
Exactly, because, you know, they're gone for 48 to 96 hours, and if you have a family and kids, it's a whole different dynamic for sure. And then, you know, there's a lot more knowledge of fire behavior in structures, so doing a lot more focus on that. And then we try to do a lot of repetition with some of the more hands-on skills that really require a lot of experience to become proficient at. And, you know, so we've really increased that. So our academies have generally gone from 6 to 8 weeks, but we've added the depth of those things.
So when somebody pushes through that door, how much longer until they become what you would consider experienced? A year and a half, 2 years, 5 years, 10?
That's a good question. It's more based on the experiences you have. So you may go 2 years and have one structure fire. And, you know, a lot of people look at our data and go, well, For us, 4% of our incidents are structure fires. For other agencies, it's less than 1%. The joke for a lot of our people who've gone to bigger, better paying departments in the Bay Area, for example, is they fought a lot of fire here and they don't do anything down there that way. But
so what do they do? Medical responses?
Mostly medical. And then, you know, the wide variety of other incidents we go to. But my point is that, yeah, it might be a small amount of incidents we go to, but those are very, very challenging, very high level of risk, very high level of stress. So that's why we put a lot of work and preparation into doing that. And the experience that you develop is being exposed to those incidents. Another aspect we've added to our training is live fire training. So we used to do nothing. Then we may be lucky to get a house that somebody wanted to demolish that we could burn. That's become much more challenging. Well, because of air quality restrictions, although the local air quality district works really well with us to do that. And then it's just really it has to be a right fit. So we have to abate any asbestos and lead. So the property owner still has to pay for that. So the cost savings for someone who wants to demolish their house is not that much less. You may end up with less material after the burn than you would if you just demolished it with an excavator. But that still has to be taken away.
Yeah, you still have to take it away.
Yeah. And then it's just it has to not be too close to another residence or buildings, so we don't want to spread the fire.
Right.
So there's just a lot of things like that. And
situational stuff.
And sometimes people do look at the costs and go, well, I'd rather just, you know, get an excavator in here and call my buddy Bob to come and do it and get it done quickly.
He does do an awful lot of it,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He does. But to go back to your question, you know, we train our folks so that when they come out of the academy, they're ready to do the work to a high level. You know, a good benchmark, I suppose, would be anywhere from 2 to 5 years is where their experience come from. But
so if somebody has experience with a single story building, I would think it's radically different if it was one of the Victorians, you know, 3 or 4 story.
Yeah.
Totally different. So even within those categories, there are still experiences that are unique.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, I got it right. May as well end it on a good note, huh?
Very good note.
Got something positive.
Yes.
An answer.
Hope the rest of your day has been as...
It's just as lovely.
As incredible as this last hour has been.
See everybody on Monday.